our soul.
He's born again? Okay, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. Paul, the Holy Spirit gave Paul a prayer. And he wrote it and he sent it down. He sent it to the Ephesians. But it's not just for the Ephesians, it's for the church. This prayer is for believers. This prayer is for people that are born again. And he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what's your son's name?
Jordan.
George?
Jordan.
Jordan? Father, we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift Jordan up to you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Jordan the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of Jordan's understanding may be enlightened, that Jordan may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards Jordan as he comes to believe according to the working of his mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And you have put all things under Jordan's feet. And you have given Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which Jordan is a part of, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now go over to chapter 3. Huh? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 16. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus. That Jordan, we lift him up, that you would grant Jordan, according to the riches of your glory, that he would be strengthened by might, with might, by your Spirit, in his inner man, that Christ may dwell in Jordan's heart by faith, that he would be rooted and grounded in love, and Jordan will be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that Jordan might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto you, Lord, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Those two prayers are for believers. You know, sometimes we have family members that are out there running like a chicken with their head cut off, and you know they're born again. And you don't know what to do for them. This is what you do for them. You pray for them. And this is the prayers that God gave to Paul for us to pray for these believers Amen? Amen. Now, oddly enough, that fits right in with our sermon today. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. And Father, we ask this day that as we look into your word, that it comes alive in our hearts. We get a rhema word out of it. We get a full revelation of it. So we can operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you pray, you put angels to work. And, you know, you don't got just one bare-butted angel with a little bow. That's not your guardian angel. You have, angels are big. They're big. They're bad. If the Dallas Cowboys could ever have a defensive line made of angels, we'd be the super champ. We'd be the Super Bowl champions forever. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, you know, people want angels, they believe in angels, they wish for angels, they think about them, but they don't understand what the Bible says about angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's the first thing you're going to have to get settled in your heart. Angels have been sent to minister to you. You're an heir of salvation. When you get born again, you become an heir of salvation. And these angels have been sent to minister to you. Now, there's all kinds of crazy ideas. How people think, you know, when somebody passes away, they think their loved one got their angel wings and flew away. That would be a demotion. Did you know that would be a demotion? The Bible says that we've been set a little lower than the angels. And that is just not true. That's not a proper translation there. They goofed up. You've been set just a little lower than God. You're in Christ Jesus. There is no angel alive that will ever tell Jesus what to do. You're the body of Christ. You're an heir of salvation. And these angels have been sent to minister to you. You may not ever see an angel. You may see an angel and not know it. But every once in a while, God lets people have a glimpse. He slows his time travel down just enough so people can see an angel. People have seen angels. But don't go looking for that. You stay centered on the Word. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 tells us that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So once you get born again, you become the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you become an heir according, you become an heir according to the promise. You become Abraham's seed. You're in Christ Jesus, you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs according to the promise. Now, angels of God have been sent to perform whatever is necessary to establish God's promise in the earth. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. And wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. These are covenant-enforcing angels. They don't make things happen just by happenstance or circumstance. These are covenant enforcing agents of God. Think about that for a second. They make it happen. Now, look at Psalms chapter 103, verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of God. You're supposed to call me on that. They hearken unto the voice of his word. That means if you take God's word and put it in the atmosphere, them angels hearken unto that word. They listen. So these angels minister God's pleasure. These are covenant enforcing agents that minister his pleasure. Now look at Psalms chapter 35, verse 27. We're going to build a little bit of a foundation here. Says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. So, what is God's pleasure? The Bible tells us that it was God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. See, we got a role to play in this. And it has to do with our tongue. Now, what would happen if you had a football team and the offensive line got up there and running backs were already, wide receivers were already, and the quarterback went up there and didn't say anything? Nothing would happen. He just sat there. Nothing would happen. Why? Because nobody would have a direction. Now you've got all these angels that have been sent to minister. Remember, I told you it wasn't just one. But you have all these angels that were sent to minister to you, and they're standing there waiting for you to say something. And you're not saying anything. You're sitting there wondering why God doesn't do something. People are sitting there, there's church people that are sitting there wondering why the government doesn't do something. When God gave us the directions, he told us to say something. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Sion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's a lot. Innumerable is a lot. There's a lot of angels out there. They've tried to count them in the Bible. The numbers are astronomical. The numbers are bigger than the national debt, if you can believe that. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. I would say that everyone in here is alive because at some point an angel stepped in the way of something that was going to toast you, and you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. And then maybe some of you may have had a close call and wondered how in the world you got out of that. There's angels. There's angels out there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and a thousands of thousands. You want to know what the math is on that? It's a 100 trillion. 100 trillion angels. If there are 7 billion people on earth and they all got saved, we would still have 14,000 angels to minister to each and every believer. 14,000. 14,000 angels on your team. And people are whining because the devil is chewing on them. When you got 14,000 angels, covenant enforcing angels, that have been sent to minister to you. And that's if everybody in the whole world was born again. And they're not. So you got even more angels. And they're sitting on the bench. Because people don't want to be part of that name it and claim it stuff. They don't want to go around and repeat scripture. You know what happens every time you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord. You know what happens right there? All them angels got up and they said, whoa, this guy, he did it. He put it out there. Just get going. You know what happens when you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? All them angels got out there. They're causing things to happen. They're causing things to line up for you so that things go your way. You know what happens when you run around and you say that you're blessed and highly favored? Blessings and favor come your way. You need to say these things on purpose. You need to make it a point to run around and say these things. That's God said to meditate on his word day and night. That wasn't so you'd learn how to memorize these scriptures. That's so you could get his team of angels grouped up and headed out there, causing God's word to be performed on your behalf. Unless you're just so intelligent and talented that you can do this on your own, I highly suggest you get them angels moving. Amen? Look at 2 Kings chapter 16. Second Kings chapter 16, verse 15. And King Ahaz commanded Uriah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering with the burnt offering of all the people of the land and their meat offering and the drink offerings, and sprinkle upon all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire about. Thus did Uriah the priest, according to all that King Ahaz commanded. And King Ahaz cut cut off the borders of the basis, and removed the laver from off them, and took down the sea from off the brazen oxen that were under it, and put it upon a pavement of stones. Now, he is doing sacrifices according to the covenant. Remember, these are covenant enforcing angels. All those angels were ready to enforce that covenant. So think of yourself as having 14,000 men working for you. They could make you rich naturally. But what could 14,000 angels working for you do supernaturally? We got all these angels. And they're sitting on the bench. A lot of people just keep their angels on the bench. When you can just say his word. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You know, we just haven't even touched. We haven't even scratched the surface of the things that God can do through us. We haven't even scratched the surface of the things that God has for us. Sometimes the church seems to be bound up arguing about the basic stuff, you know. Well, should we sprinkle or tinkle or dip or dunk or pour or whatever? And they've been arguing about that for 50 years and they still fight over it. They need to grow up and go forward and start getting on with life. And this is one of the exciting things about life. When you find out that God has sent all these angels to minister to you, and all you have to do is agree with God and get his word in your heart so you can get it in your mouth, get it in the atmosphere, and let those angels do their thing. It's amazing. It's an amazing life. It's wonderful. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. These provisions that we're talking about, these promises in the Bible, are yours. All your job is to believe them and say them. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All too many times people want to, you know, they might hear something that sounds good and they say, well, I'm going to try that. And then they come in, you know, I had a lady one time come in to church one day and she had a severe headache. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, well, I listened to your sermon last week and I threw my blood pressure medicine away. I said, you go dig that stuff back up and you keep taking that blood pressure medicine until you know that you know. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you're going to have to hear the same thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with listening to the same tape over and over and over again, the same sermon over and over and over. If something strikes your heart and you say, man, and it catches your attention, circle it in your Bible and go back to it. Go back to it. Keep going back to it. If you hear a tape that really strikes your heart, go back and listen to that thing again, and listen to that thing again, and listen to it again, and wear that thing out. Hear it over and over and over and over again. It struck your spirit for a reason. Your spirit jumped at it. And you need to get that in there so that you can get that faith built up in your heart for that particular thing. Amen? So you can say it. You know, you're not going to receive something that you don't believe. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Well, we better go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 first. Verse 9. I don't want to skip anything on this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. God's will towards you is good. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be healthy. He wants your family to be healthy. He wants your family to succeed. He wants you to receive the promises that he has put in this Bible. And he's given us specific directions on how to make that happen. Yeah. Now go to Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, that we talk about Abraham here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham became fully persuaded, and the only way he became fully persuaded was because he meditated on that promise. God told him, said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Matter of fact, he changed his name to Father of Many Nations. So Abraham had to walk around calling himself the father of many nations for 25 years. And he became fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. He had cut a covenant with him, and he meditated on that promise for all those years. And then Isaac happened. Now, go to Psalms 103, verse 20. And you're going to get your part of this deal here. Psalms 103, verse 20. Says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. That there's the key. You want the angels to get busy in your life? Put God's word in the atmosphere. I can't see anything happen. Well, have you ever seen an angel? Well, I don't know if I have or not. I haven't seen one with his wings spread out or nothing like that. But I know that they're working because I keep putting God's word out into the atmosphere. So them angels, they're going to hearken unto his voice, unto the voice of his word. And he said, he sent them to be ministers to us. It would be foolish for us not to put these angels to work for us. But people will sit there and let them angels just sit there and watch them. You know, those angels, I can't even imagine the conversations they must have. So, you know that boy, he's been born again for 35 years. And that same little stinking, rotten little devil. He's been beating him up for 35 years. If he'd just say something, we'd just flick him, he'd be gone. He won't open his mouth. He don't want to be one of those name it and claim it guys. You got to say something. How did you get born again in the first place? You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So you came to believe something, and then you said what you believed. Amen? And then when you got baptized, you made a confession, a public confession of that. He said, I'm here because I've made the Lord Jesus my Lord. Then just go ahead and say something else. Amen? Get them angels out there. Get them out there moving around in the atmosphere. Get them doing something on your behalf. Well, that sounds kind of foolish. Not as foolish as running around singing some of these country songs that you find on the radio station. You know, when I first started learning about controlling my tongue, one of the most irritating songs in the whole world, they'd play it a lot. And the reason it was so irritating is because I would be running around in the oil field and I'd be busy and I'd get in a routine and I'd get my rhythm going, I'd be getting stuff done. Next thing I know, I'd be singing this stupid song. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. I'd sing. And finally, I just stopped and I said, you got to be kidding me. That is one of the worst confessions that you can make. So I just stopped that. Get it, control of your tongue. People run around saying, I'm so broke I can't pay any attention. Well, if you want to be dumb or broke, just keep saying that. You know, it doesn't take any more effort to say God's word than it does the devil's word. But the thing about God's word, when you say his word, it causes life to happen in you. It causes your spirit to be quickened. It causes strength and healing to happen in your body. It causes favor to come your way. And it causes those angels to get out there and cause things to happen for your benefit. Amen? So, we're going to find a scripture or prayer in the Bible that's pertinent to the challenge that we face in life. And we're going to get that scripture in our heart. And we're going to say it on purpose in the name of Jesus. And we're going to say, angels, you go forth and you cause God's word to be performed on my behalf. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making our prayers perfect to present to you. And he's always making intercession for us. We thank you for everything that he will do for us when he makes our salvation complete. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.